The board did not want you to do that. How did you manage to convince them to go ahead and make their proposal?
We didn't have enough money out of CAS, ACS budgets to do it on our own. And then as a test mechanism for grants or contracts with the government, we would go to NSF on two initial research projects. In 1959, the board changed its policy and allowed us to do this, and I got authorization to go to publish or to try, the first time ever, a computer-based publication, they said. That was 59, early. We also wanted and talked to the board to do a thesaurus, a computer-based thesaurus. Dr. Dyson had an idea of a way to do translation from Japanese or Cyrillic from Russian into English with a computer-based thesaurus. Now, he didn't want to build a dictionary, and NSF never granted us that. We didn't accept their way. They had a gal down at NSF, shouldn't know her name, forget it right now, but she wanted us. Dyson and me went in and argued with her, and she wanted us to do a dictionary type of thesaurus, and we said no, we weren't going to do it that way, and she didn't like it, so she talked to Dr. Atkinson, and she wasn't going to give us the grant, but we did get the chemical.
This is Helen Browning?
Helen Brownson, how did you know? Yes. Helen Brownson, she turned us down on that one. She wanted a dictionary. We didn't want to produce another chemical dictionary. There have been enough chemical dictionaries.
Mm. I recall she had some early, I think had an early interest in mechanical translation,
oh, yes,
too.
Well, yeah. She and Ralph Odette. Ralph? Yes, both of them.
Yeah.
Mm. Brownson took over from Ralph Odette.
Right, right. Now, did you have any kind of personal relationship with Burton Atkinson?
Oh, straight, yes.
Yeah, you all were friends from way back?
Not way back. He didn't come to the Science Foundation until maybe 56 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
He's still living out in Seattle.
Right. I saw him a couple of years ago.
He would be a good one. His book, if you haven't read it, you should.
I've been reading it.
You've been reading it?
Yeah. It's the dullest book ever written, but it is jam-packed with information.
This is it. He, 2 centuries of federal information. Bert, in my judgment, is one of the greatest people in our field of scientific information ever. Bert and I traveled a lot, of course, and he got involved in our chemical information through the International Council of Scientific Unions, and he was very interested in that. And so I traveled to foreign countries with Bert.
So it was you and Dyson made the pitch basically to NSF.
Right. We wrote up a grant proposition and they accepted the one on chemical titles and not on the thesaurus.
But Atkinson was in favor of this kind of approach to handling chemical information.
He was excited by it. We talked to him, of course, earlier, and he wanted us. Forward gentleman that wanted to use computers, and if you may not know this, Bert was the most important person that kept the government agencies from taking over all their private sector scientific societies' information programs, as was happening in Germany and England and France and Italy and Japan. The governments were taking over the scientific society's role and control of their scientific information programs. And Bert fought our government for years that the Defense Department wanted to take over, and they had a big system, of course, back in there. They hired Charlie Bonnier to head up, our Charles Bonnier, editor, to head up their defense system. Andy Ames was in the president. his effort was to coordinate all the government agencies to take over the information programs. Of course, MedLARS, the medical information, had been run by the government, and so they wanted to do that for the other science disciplines, physics, math, biology. We had to, Bert was a strong proponent that the scientific societies would be better controlling their own information systems because they knew what was needed and wanted it, not the government. Mm-hmm. We had many times we had to fight different agencies. They wanted to take over chemical information systems. So they had bills in Congress. I testified in front of some of those bills mm-hmm. in Congress that would not allow them, for example. We didn't want them.
So the fears of your board then were very real. Did you get ever any intimation that the government wanted any kind of, obligation because you had taken the money from the NSF? That they were expecting public access to the database or anything like that?
The question should be changed a bit. There were two reports in the government. The Baker report, which was in the early or the late 50s, about scientific information, mm-hmm. they had to get actively involved. And W.O. Baker was the Bell Telephone Baker, vice president. To the president. In the Weinberg report,
63,
Weinberg said that if the scientific societies don't do this, then the government will have to do this and take over. And this was part of also a congressman or senator in Minnesota that wanted to do this. So we did get reaction from many times the government, and of course we actually tried to work with them, for example, toxicological databases and material science databases, and we've through the years been able to work with the government to achieve what they wanted. That's what we wanted to do. Finally, the big one was patent office. Patent mm-hmm. office going to go. They tried five times to defend. Back in the early late 50s, middle 50s, the patent office tried to automate, and they failed to do that even in the biological areas. But then they tried three or four times after that. Finally, in 1982, we had to do it for the patent office. We weren't the prime contractor, we were the assistant, our secondary contractor to do the patent office automation. Yes, there was a lot of that during that period to what the government was going to do, and Bert was the one that was on the side. Mm-hmm. He and some of the agency heads would come to our board meetings, ACS board meetings, and there was one down at the Fountain Blue in Miami, Florida, one night on there, I did it. Bert argued with the guy right in front of our board about taking over when they're doing some of it. We had a lot of feedback, a lot of interaction during that year, mm-hmm. in the 60s particularly.
There are three big grants from NSF over about a 10-year period of time that you all received. Were these one kind of flowed from the other, that is the original? Then what you one was to catch up, as I recall, in abstracting.
That was the second one.
Uh-huh.
Ken Titles was the first. The mm-hmm. second one was we were very late in doing our indexing. It took us around 22 months
say, were you already running really late in 58 because of lack of automation?
Issues itself, the semi-weekly issues, were late, and also our indexes were very late. We were 4 years behind on our indexes. In our collective index, which was before the board of directors for 1958, and the money to get caught up wasn't there to help us get caught up. We couldn't hire chemists, enough chemists to get caught up. There just weren't enough chemists available to do the work that we needed to get caught up. And I had a hell of a job for 4 years to get caught up with our indexing, with our regular issues. It was a real, very critical time. And I think the board, especially our cook, knew this.
And chemical titles was to be a partial answer to this problem by getting it out fast?
Well, that, but show us experimentally how to use a computer regarding chemical information handling. Yeah. Is a test bed for some of our other later developments. Very, very important. That was key, really. If we could do that and use a computer to do the type of work we needed to coordinate and correlate the information and get it into the computer to automate. And Dyson, they figured out other techniques, of course, and it was his idea on the registry system. He's the grandfather of the registry system. That was our biggest bottleneck, was naming of the compounds systematically to put them in an index so that we could be useful and have a consistent quality. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm really going to have to depend on Leo, because I'm interested in the automation aspects of this chemical information, but I don't know much chemistry. So can you talk, and hopefully Leo can fill in, what were the real problems, nitty-gritty, day-to-day kinds of things for getting automated? Just start at the beginning. I know the technology for the period, but I just don't know the chemistry.
Well, nomenclature was probably the greatest problem back then, systematic nomenclature. We had generic names, we had trade names, we had all the names coming through the information that a man ever dreamed of, that they were naming a compound after themselves or something else. Usually a trade name type of thing, in the structure unknown, but in literature itself was not ever standardized, although UPAC tried to give rules for naming the compounds. They had been working for quite a few years, but they were very slow, and we were faced daily to name a new compound coming into the literature systematically, and it was very difficult. It took us over 75% of all the compounds being reported in the literature were new. There was a lot of research work being done on old compounds, what effect they had, what the properties were, but the uses of the old compounds was being reported, and this was new chemistry, and we had to report that. So really, that was our key, to get organic chemists and organic chemists to be able to name systematically and index these compounds so that we were consistent. We could put them in the exact nature correctly in the structure so that everybody research could know that this was the same compound. It's not a trade name or a generic name.
So there's sort of two issues then. One is a standard nomenclature, and then there's also the issue and how to automate that process, and also the issue of chemical structure that is kind of, that was what Dyson brought in, which was as connection tables, or
we call them ciphers or notations. Yeah. That's what he brought to us. And that was a daily, no serious problem. We couldn't hire again, as I said before, fast enough to do that.
When you looked around at your choice of automation techniques, you got Uniterm, Quick, Quack, but there was a system that Moores had developed.
Calvin Moores.
Yeah, how did you all make a decision to go with say, to try Quick first?
It's still present in the literature of those types of different proposals. There were a lot of many proposals. Could be done, what should be done, and we had to make our own choices as far as our work goes, and particularly to our needs. That's an important question, but what we saw were the areas of research that we could use or needed to do the best work we could internally of our work. Nobody else knew that. We had to do it ourselves. And so our directors of research, along with our other staff, we had over 120 in line in our proposals or projects, we call them. And we had to decide, there's a system in which you make decision points on a project as you go through it. And if it looks feasible or reasonable or what's most needed or priority, right? Type of project. So we were developing internally techniques that nobody else had or knew of. And for example, we had decided by 1965 that we would test polymers, science and technology, to put out a publication in this area that would give not only the data, the information, subject information, but also the structures or the diagrams or the reaction right in there together. And this was CBAC, chemical, biological activities, and those type of publications. Nobody else had ever done anything like that. And we had these in process from 1963 on. And you have to just decide how much money. Some of those projects were very expensive. Our registry system was extremely expensive, and this is where we got the government back in 1963. If you develop the registry system by getting the software, there are a million and a half codes for our original software for the registry system, and that takes a long time and some very good people to do that work. And so that, along with the type of publication we were interested in producing, CBAC imposed projects, we had to decide how to format it, how to get it through the computer systems, put it out, and it is less expensive than not only all over chemistry, just the vertical cuts on chemistry, the broad cuts in chemistry, the vertical cuts in particular areas of chemistry, you wanted to put on the hottest fields.
But internally, did you try different automation systems, such as Uniterms, or did you, when you first went to it, you decided to go with the Quick Index approach?
Oh, that was just for Quick, for titles.
Uh-huh.
And that was a computer-based technique that the software was built for. That was not for anything else other than the Quick type of index.
Mm-hmm.
It never turned out that you could use Quick for a CA type. You could use it, but it wasn't a quality index. Of course, it was Quick and dirty.
Right.
And so we couldn't use that technique for all of indexing in
management. Mm-hmm. So you did software development in-house then?
Mm-hmm.
Were there outside contractors, or did you really just
very
try to
outside. We
bring
didn't
people
sound
in
not
here?
Much. We had right or wrong programs pretty much internally. I got research staff up to 120 people at the time, with the use of government funds starting in 65. Up to 65, we had done it on our own. But most of us all, there was nothing out there.
Automation folks, where did you go look to find them?
You're talking about equipment?
No, people and equipment.
Yeah, how do you find somebody in 1963 who's going to be able to do software engineering or whatever?
Work earlier,
even earlier.
Playing with this.
Pretty much, you had to get a mathematician that could understand some chemistry and math and could write some work. You had to internally get the people to do it. Most of any of the work being done back then by insurance companies or North American companies, they were very, they didn't even understand the type of research that we needed or software that we needed. Computer science, my God, I've seen some work at Purdue that just blew my mind, the type of work they're doing in chemical research for computer engineers. We had a lot of talent from the universities. Done in the 50s on an advisory board. We started an advisory board, and we got two people, academic and industry, the best minds we could find to help us. master of the best chemistry. What the hell is the best chemistry? I ran an experiment with 100 scientific people, chemists, all over the country. Well, we sent them 10 other papers, and we asked them to evaluate this as to the best chemistry. And there was no correlation at all between them. Very few, two or three, would say that a particular paper was the best chemistry ever being required by the members. So, how do you determine what's the best chemistry? Just because it's the result of work done here? No. There's a good paper coming out of Germany. They're able to. So, we couldn't choose the best chemistry. They said, give it to us fast, the best chemistry. Garfield used this technique. Yes, the division of Ken Lent people probably, and we reported to them starting in the 60s, every meeting we had, we told them about the work. They later formed, based in 65 on our computer tapes, for example, in 62, University of Georgia.
Could we stop just a minute, Mr. Baker, and switch the tapes again?
See, that was a bit of that.